In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, please be seated. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Jesus gives us some pretty tough words today. But if we look more closely at the passage, he's actually talking about himself. The baptism by fire into which he is to be baptized is his own death. He's really talking about his crucifixion, which is never far from his mind and heart. While Jesus is Son of God, he was also fully human, and knowing what was ahead of him terrorized him as it would anybody else. He would have been anticipating the pain that was coming his way, pain that was unable to avoid. As many prophets who bucked the system, he knew there was a price to be paid for speaking out and standing up for those being oppressed, despised, or kept at the margins of society. Experts think that this passage today is actually a jumble of passages and sayings that have been clumped together. It's unlikely that this was a coherent address given all at once. It's the themes of the passage that carry with it a message for us today. It is true, standing up for a particular position creates division and conflict. Regardless of what the position is, someone is bound to be offended when we take a stand about anything. People will have hurt feelings or believe they are being directly challenged, and our natural tendency is to react immediately and sometimes sharply. And for those who take public stands against systems of power and privilege, nearly they always get pushback that's fierce and swift. Today, Jesus is laying out the cost of discipleship. All our readings look at prophets and the prophetic voices and the cost of stepping out forward to speak a truth. In the case of Jesus, the price was a horrific death. Truth-telling is a powerful tool, but it almost nearly is always a source of division. It makes us uncomfortable, as it did for me in my sermon last week. And I know my sermon made some people feel uncomfortable, including me. Having touched my feelings of racism all these years later could be nothing less than uncomfortable. And I realize how important it is, because on the way here to the dinner last night with my two children, Ben in the back seat said he was upset at camp because someone called him the N-word at camp. So it's everywhere. We had a liturgy committee meeting this week, and members of our group talked about coming to church for comfort, coming for what's familiar in a world that's constantly changing. And you know, that is true. Christ invites us to gather as a community, to share stories, to break bread and receive Christ's mystical body in sacrament, and to leave this place feeling better and comforted. However, that's only half of what we're called to come here for. We are reminded in our Eucharistic prayer that we will use this fall: deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table only for solace and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Well, we come to church and to the table to bring us solace and comfort in a world that seems turned upside down. We're also called to come to strengthen ourselves to face the vicissitudes of our life, claim a prophetic voice, and leave renewed to live differently and challenge ourselves and the outside world where it needs to be challenged. In short, we come here for comfort and to be challenged. If we don't do both, we don't fulfill our call as Christians. Today's gospel and our readings are a stark reminder of the cost of doing this thing called following Jesus. In our passage from Hebrews today, you hear a list of prophets and what they had to endure, the price they paid for following the principles of God. We heard they suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death, sawn in two, killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Yet taken together, these people form a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us and modeling for us what it means to follow Christ. The Reverend Mark Ramsey of Atlanta posed a question. Where are our cloud of witnesses today? He recalled Lorraine Hansberry's play, A Raisin in the Sun. In it, a young man comes home to see his family after he lost all the money that would have given them a secure future, destroying all their hopes. His sister calls him every despicable name imaginable. After she curses her brother, the mother speaks and says, I told you to forgive him. Forgive him? There's nothing left to forgive. There is always something left to love, says the mother. And if you haven't learned that, you haven't learned anything, she said. When do you think it's time to love and forgive somebody? When they've done good? When they've made you proud? The time to love somebody is when they are at their lowest, because the world done whipped them so. A smaller world tempts us to sort who we should love and who is worthy of our love, let alone worthy of God's love. But there's always something left to love, always and always. Pastor Ramsey ends, do not live in a smaller world than God has given you. Much of the time we live in a smaller world than God has given us, and we keep our God very small. Forces in our lives strive to shrink our world and our hopes. We are enticed by distraction that shrinks our focus on the deeper values. We're lured into conventional thinking that withers our imagination of God and God's world. Just this past week, we celebrated the feast of Jonathan Daniels, who I'm sure many of you don't know who that is. Jonathan was an Episcopal seminarian from my former seminary in Cambridge, Mass., who died in the midst of being a prophet and speaking truth to power. In 1965, he was murdered by a shotgun-wielding construction worker, Tom Coleman, in Haynesville, Alabama, while in the act of shielding a 17-year-old Ruby Sales, an African-American teenager. Daniels was in Alabama to simply help sign up black folks to vote following the Civil Rights Act of 1964. They were simply entering a store to buy a soft drink when Coleman blocked their way, raised the shotgun at Sales. Daniels pushed her out of the way and took the direct hit and was instantly killed. A second shot hit a Roman Catholic priest who was with Daniels and Sales. We honor Jonathan as a prophet and martyr in my seminary as an example of the possible price for following gospel truth. When I hold back from doing the right thing out of my own fear, I remember the prophetic witness and voice of Jonathan, who offered up his life for another, which helps give me strength. The prophet speaks God's word to truth to those inside and those outside the truth, church. Prophets do not seek to proclaim a message that is easy to be accepted, but seeks to speak God's word of truth no matter how hard it might be to hear or accept. Christ is the paradigmatic example of the identity and mission of the prophet. Today we are reminded there is a price to be paid in this work, a price none of us want to pay. Yet when we come here each week and claim belief in Christ, who did not shrink from what was coming his way because he dared to proclaim a larger God and a larger world than any of us can ever fully imagine. Jesus said, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed."